I look at the world around us and wonder, are the dispensationalists actually wrong? Is there any validity to what they're saying? Today, we examine the possibilities of a one-world government, the mark of the beast, and the endless possibilities of Antichrist unions. Everybody, and welcome to the Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. First things first, a little bit of business here. We've got two new patrons that I want to give a shout out to, Trevor Wright and Caleb Short. Full disclosure, Trevor has been a patron for quite a while. I just thought it was weird giving him that shout out while he was a guest on the show. And Caleb, although I haven't seen him in a very long time, I consider him a very good friend. And it's amazing what's gone down since the last time I saw you, Caleb. We both got married. You just had a little baby girl. Man, let's FaceTime soon, man. I miss you. A listener of the show, Chris Jameson, shared on social media that he likes to listen to the podcast while he plays Halo. So I threw it out on our Instagram story and just asked how people like to listen to the show, and Caleb Short got back to me promptly to let me know that he listens to the podcast in the shower. So nothing beats listening to a podcast in the shower. Speaking of friends I sorely miss, and speaking of Chris Jameson, I sorely miss Chris Jameson. He just started listening to this podcast all the way from the beginning, and he posted on Facebook saying how much he enjoyed, so thanks for that, man, sincerely. While I'm dealing with issues of contact and friends I miss, you know, an intersection of those things, Cameron Morgan has been asking me to do an episode on intersectionality, and at first I was hesitant, but after some consideration, I'm excited to announce here for the very first time that I will not be doing that episode, at least not anytime soon. Sorry, Cameron. We're getting into the dispensational stuff in a minute, but before we do, I just want to thank everyone for sticking with me through such a weird time. I don't just mean moving the last couple weeks. I mean, I started this podcast in January. That means that I had less than 2 good months before the economy collapsed and people were trapped inside their houses. Despite that, I was able to grow an audience, get support on Patreon, do the kinds of things I've always dreamt of doing on a podcast. So just thank you, everyone, from Patreon supporters to email subscribers. You all play a role in making this podcast happen. So even through this move, when I missed an episode for the very first time in history a couple weeks ago, I think it was the week before Trevor's series started, but it was the first time I ever missed an episode. And since then, I've had to do low-quality intros and outros on the last few episodes. But you guys have stuck with me. If you're listening to this and you're not a Patreon supporter, just know that it's only $4 a month, less than a good cup of coffee, and it ensures that I'm able to do this show for the foreseeable future. You can do that by heading over to patreon.com/deathofdeath. If you're weary of parting with $4 a month, I totally understand. Once things are more stable, if they ever are again, I'll be here, and all the exclusive Patreon episodes will be there waiting for you as well, so there's no missing out on that. And if you go over to Patreon to sign up, there used to be a glitch. I'm not sure if it's still doing this or not, but when you went to sign up at Patreon, it used to default to $5 a month. You should be able to change that to $4 during the sign-up process, so just a helpful tip if you do plan on doing that. I think that's it. I think that's everything I wanted to get to, so let's get into it now. This week, I gave the episode a very provocative title, because I'm a provocative man. I'm a good marketer, and I wanted you to listen to it. So today's show is called Reconsidering Dispensationalism. So let's get the first, easiest, and most obvious part out of the way early and just say, no, I am not actually reconsidering dispensationalism. However, there are a few things I've been thinking about that are worth noting here. This is just, you know, fun stuff to consider. I don't know if it's fun. Should I say that? Fun is kind of a light word for this. I don't know. First off, I was visiting a church here in Oklahoma City. And, update on that. We haven't really picked a church yet, but we're pretty sure we picked one. So thank you for anyone who's been praying for us about that. But I was visiting a church here, and the pastor read this passage from Luke 23:11-12. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. This is talking about Jesus. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with one another. What's so striking about this passage to me is what united these two parties, and this was what the pastor was remarking on. These two parties were united by the death of Jesus, by unrighteousness, wickedness. So when we look around, we see plenty of things teaming up together that were otherwise at odds or had nothing to do with one another, even. And, you know, in what world does Marxism team up with epidemiology? A world where wicked things are easily united by their unrighteousness. And it kind of sounded like I was saying epidemiology was wicked. Like that's it. I don't believe in science anymore. He's a witch. No, that's not what I'm saying. I was actually going to, as a different example, I was going to say pro-choice movement and racial justice advocates, but I actually decided not to say that for the exact reason that I didn't want it to sound like I was saying that last thing was wicked, and then I just put epidemiology in there as if that was gonna be better. I'm really bad at talking off the cuff. I think there's points where I've been spot on and points where I maybe have some reconsidering to do, but I don't have to say anything controversial to make this point. Putting 30 million people out of work is wicked. Scaring the rationality right out of the entire world is also wicked. And it is wicked to force people to bury their loved ones alone while crooked politicians have hundreds of people in attendance at their funerals. So whether the reaction to this virus is warranted or not, these things are wicked. I obviously do not buy into what's been going on, but I'm a horrible person who wants to kill your grandma, so I wouldn't really trust anything that I have to say. And in my defense, she shouldn't have given me that shade at the bingo hall. I'm coming for you, Barbara. Would any of our listeners like to volunteer to sit here while I record these episodes and just keep me focused and just not let me rabbit trail like that anymore? I heard this secondhand, so I'm not going to attribute this to anyone, but I think you listen to the podcast, so you know who you are. Let me know if you want credit. Again, secondhand, this person said something to the effect of, like, I always wondered how in the dispensational model you could have, like, a one-world unification on something, but now that this pandemic has taken place, this person was saying that they could see the entire world fall in line with one idea, one opinion, one purpose, one goal, you know, that kind of thing. So a former pastor of mine used to say something similar. He used to talk about the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and he was not a dispensationalist, to my knowledge. I don't think he was. Actually, I know for a fact he wasn't. But I guess in the dispensationalist system, the Jews have to take back control of the temple before the Antichrist rises to power. So that's currently controlled by Muslims. Now, this is what he was saying 6 years ago. I don't know if this is still accurate because I don't keep up with this stuff. I'm far too busy with my 30-year-old science fiction novels to worry about what's going on in Israel. But he would say that the Jews and the Muslims would have to somehow be united in order for the dispensationalist prediction of Jews taking back control of the Temple Mount to come true. And that never made sense, because how would you ever unite those two groups? But then he realized that they are both Antichrist religions, and Satan could absolutely unite two Antichrist religions. We've talked on the show before many times about how Antichrist can mean something as specific as rejecting Jesus, or something as general as not believing in Jesus's deity. The Jewish and Islamic faiths would both fall into the category of Antichrist, because neither believes that Jesus is God. Likewise, today, we see the entire world united on something with shaky logic at best, and if you're like me, you wonder how something like this could happen, but then you remember that Herod and Pilate, against all odds, became friends that day because of their unrighteousness. Which brings me to this other point of consideration, the mark of the beast. The last 150 years or so since dispensationalism was thought up have just been littered with false predictions about what the mark of the beast would be, like credit cards, microchips, so on and so forth. Today, we may be seeing the closest thing we'll ever get to a fulfillment of that in our time, and that's the face mask. Now, I'm conflicted as to whether it's even right for me to be wearing a mask at all, whether I think it's necessary or not. Douglas Wilson made a very convincing argument on his podcast that Christians are actually disobeying authority by wearing a mask. I'll link to the podcast in the show notes, but to sum it up and just give you a real basic idea, if the Constitution is the highest law in the land, then that's what Romans 13 is telling us to obey when it tells us to obey the authorities. So when a governor or city council enacts something unconstitutional, if we give into it, we're actually granting authority to someone who doesn't have it and rejecting the authority which is actually in place. So those governors swear to uphold the Constitution when they're sworn in. So that means that even they are subject to this document. So it would be like we're on a ship and the captain of the ship grants authority to the first mate, and then the first mate mutinies and we on the ship say, well, he is the first mate, so we better do what he says. It's like, well, did you forget all about the captain? Like, no, there's a higher authority than the first mate. You don't have to do what the first mate says when he's, you know, committing a mutiny against the captain. So just because the governor says something doesn't mean you can ignore the document that he's subject to. So, gosh, I wish I could avoid political rants on this podcast. I really do. I don't want to be doing this to you. Just know that, listener. So if you're worried about violating Romans 13, then rest assured you are not, if you don't give in to unconstitutional authority. And also, given that there's no law in place, you're not even really being civilly disobedient. So Douglas Wilson can say it better than I can, but it definitely conflicted me as to what I should be doing as a Christian. I'll link to that podcast in the show notes. However, it's not up to me in any real sense, because I really can't even get groceries unless I put the mask on, so it doesn't really matter how I feel about it. You can't buy or sell without it. That's just what the Bible says about the mark of the beast. That's what all these people have been worried about for all these years, about, you know, microchips and stuff. But it turned out the face mask is going to be the thing that determines whether you can buy or sell things. Who saw that coming? A mouth covering for a virus that spreads through your eyes. You can't do any sort of business without it. Who knew it would be considerably less advanced than a microchip? So I'm obviously kidding around, sorta, but, you know, I'd love to say that I don't fully believe this, but it's a very weird time that we're living in, and the reality is that whatever the mark of the beast in Revelation symbolizes, we know that an oppressive regime is being symbolized. That is the thing being symbolized, which is what matters. So likewise, all oppressive regimes are going to have something similar, because oppressive governments have to control how you spend your money and how you get your money too. So I think in some ways every oppressive system has a type of the mark of the beast that controls, you know, how you buy and sell things, you know. So America is just the largest empire that has ever existed on Earth. The U.S. government controls the entire planet. Like, do you ever think about that? I have friends who, you know, believe that the government is going to do something soon. You know, each person's interpretation is always different, but it's something like concentration camps and things like that. They're going to round up all the dissenters and dispose of them. And I honestly don't believe that will ever happen. I think the U.S. could fall, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the U.S. government is ever going to fully, like, overtly turn against the citizens, because I think the government is in the perfect position right now to have all the power without overtly having it. You know, you think you're in a free country. A quarter of our income goes directly to the government. We don't actually own any property by any meaningful definition of the word, and we don't even get to decide what we do with our own children, but we still think that we're free here. So how much more control could the U.S. government possibly have over its people? I don't think it would benefit them at all for us to realize generally that we aren't free. I think the only way they get away with what they get away with is because we believe we're free already, so we're not worried about it. Ultimately, you know, let's reel this in, Nick. You just can't stop talking about this stuff, can you? Ultimately, I try so hard not to talk about politics on this podcast. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough. I might have lied just now. But ultimately, no. I don't believe dispensationalism is correct. I think these are symptoms of every oppressive empire that has ever existed. So we are bound to line up with the Roman Empire of the first century here and there eventually. Political rants aside, it's more important than ever that we align ourselves with righteousness, we align ourselves with God's law, because rationality and morality and true liberty are only going to come through God's law. So cling to Christ during this time, because that's where true and lasting freedom is. And, you know, I mean it when I say that Jesus is victorious over sin, death, and everything else. Like, that doesn't mean the U.S. won't fall. That just means that Jesus is still on the throne. So maybe we should shift our thinking a little bit into, you know, your will be done, and not so much of, like, predictions of what's going to happen or what's not going to happen, but more of what's true regardless of the situation, and that is that Jesus is victorious. Jesus is on the throne. All right, thanks again for tuning in to the Death of Death. Just wanted to let you guys know that we're getting settled in our new apartment in Oklahoma. It's fully furnished now, so we're making good progress. Thank you to anyone who was praying for us during that move. If you want to support the show and help make it happen, as well as receive access to an exclusive podcast every month, in addition to other benefits, head over to patreon.com/deathofdeath. Sign up for just $4 a month. Just had to put one last plug in. All right, everyone. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that blind squirrels occasionally find nuts. Trevor, I'm thinking about the burning squirrels again. If you're as committed to Christ's victory as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.